Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, and she's got a great scripture for us about do not fear, be afraid.
That's right.
From this 22nd day of March.
March, that's right. Isaiah 41:10. 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen.
Today's call, we're going to talk about avoid playing the fool.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's get a couple things clear. Making promises is a godly thing. God made the first promise. He promised that grass and trees would reproduce after their own kind. Genesis 1:11. God said, "Let earth bring forth grass and trees after their kind." God kept his promise. Genesis 1:12. "And earth brought forth grasses and trees after his kind." Actually, God made 20,000 promises in his word. The greater part of these promises are already fulfilled. Those that remain are being fulfilled. Now, the devil also makes promises. Notice how his first promise to mankind directly contradicts God's. God promises that if man ate of the tree of the forbidden fruit, he would die. Genesis 2:17, Classic Amplified. Scripture says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. For in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die."
Wow.
Notice that Satan contradicts God with his own promise. Genesis 3:4, Living Bible. "That's a lie, the serpent is. You'll not die." When God asked why Adam and Eve disobeyed, he says she was deceived by a false promise.
Wow.
Genesis 3:13, Classic Amplified. "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled, cheated, outwitted, and deceived me, and I ate.'" Notice it was Eve's dependence upon a false promise that brought about the devil's purpose in Eden. False promises and lies come from the devil.
That's right.
John 8:44 in the Living Bible. "You love to do the evil things he, the devil, does? For he is the father of liars."
Mm.
Contrary to his promise. Promises can be depended on when they come from God's word and his spirit. Hallelujah. John 14:16 and 17, Classic Amplified. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the Lord cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you."
That's right. Unfulfilled promises never bring about God's will.
True.
Instead, they bring about Satan's will. Notice God's warning of those who make promises and don't keep them. In Ecclesiastes 5:1-7, it says, "Keep your foot, give your mind to what you are doing. When you go as Jacob to sacred Bethel, to the house of God, for to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently, too ignorant to know what they are doing, that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." When you vow a vow to make or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools, those who witlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. it is better that you should not bow than you should bow and not pay.
True.
Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin, and do not say before the messenger, the priest, that it was an error or a mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams, there is a futility and a worthlessness and ruin in a flood of words. But reverently fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is.
Wow.
This stern warning really comes to us not to hurt us, but to help us. For the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that keeping their promises to God will bring them overflowing abundance.
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 13, in the Living Bible it says, I have asked these other brothers to arrive ahead of me to see that the gift you promise is on hand. Remember this. If you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much.
Yes.
Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to. For cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. God is able to make it, the amount you promised, up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is, as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant, and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you much so that you can give away much. Those who help you help will be glad for this truth that your deeds are as good as your doctrine.
You know, there's another verse of warning to those who would leave a promise unfulfilled. Deuteronomy 23:21, Classic Amplified. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not be slack in paying it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and slackness will be a sin in you. Notice that an unfulfilled promise becomes sin in the person who fails to pay it. Know that fulfilling promises is very valuable to the believer. For those who do can confidently call upon God for help when trouble comes. Psalm 50, 14 and 15. Offering to God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. While calling upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. Then say, might, could, should, says, I will deliver you. When we pay our vows, we can call upon God and he will answer. However, we must keep our promises to him. Psalm 116:14, New Living Translation. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Unfortunately, truly, we live in a society where promises, well, they don't hold the value they once did. There was a time when a man could tell you something and his word would be bond. But it ruled our conversations as well as our actions. But sadly, this is not any longer the case in this country. Promises are easily made and quickly broken, with seemingly no regret or thought about the consequences. But Ecclesiastes has something to say about that. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, it says, this is in the Living Bible, it says, don't be a fool who doesn't even realize it is sinful to make rash promises to God. So when you talk to God and vow to him that you will do something, don't delay in doing it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Keep your promise to him. It is far better not to say you'll do something than to say you will and not do it. In that case, your mouth is making you sin. Don't try to defend yourself by telling the messenger from God that it was all a mistake to make the vow. That would make God very angry,
yes,
and he might destroy your prosperity. Dreaming instead of doing is foolishness, and there is a ruin in a flood of empty words. There are seven powerful thoughts stirred in us as we were reading through the verses.
First, you make a rash promise to God. You're a fool, whether you realize it or not. Second, if you delay in doing what you promise, then you're a fool, and God will take no pleasure in you.
Third, it's better to keep your mouth closed than to commit to something that you're not going to do. And fourth, never allow the words that you come out of your mouth to willingly lead you into sin.
Fifth, make excuses for your failure to do what you say. But it's just going to make God unhappy, and if you will, angry. Sixth, your failure to follow through on what you say you're going to do will destroy your prosperity. And seventh,
go ahead.
You go, baby.
No, go.
Only talking about your dreams instead of doing something about them is foolishness. Now, let's look at the third scripture in this progression. Psalm 116:17, where it says, I will offer to thee sacrifices of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Wow.
That'll make us excited.
That is. That is very good.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching of the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. Sow wherever asked.
And don't forget to look for Rich Thoughts email in today's email.
That's correct.
And we also have our teaching on Sunday night.
Yes, we do.
So there you go. Lots of ways to connect.
That's exactly right. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.